Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been studying verse by verse through the Sermon on the Mount, and we come this morning to the Lord's Prayer. So let's begin with the beginning, the invocation, or the address, the way that you start a prayer. Our Father in heaven is what Jesus taught us. Why do we need to start our prayers with that address, or for that matter, any address? Why do I have to have an invocation at the beginning of my prayer? Why do I say, Dear Lord, and all that? I mean, what's the point of that? I know I'm praying to him. I know I'm talking to him. He knows I'm talking to him. Why do I need to start it out with something like that? Dear Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. I think there's a few reasons. And I think one purpose is to remind ourselves that we are speaking to a person. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. We talked about the fact that prayer is relational, right? It's interaction with a person. Just saying a prayer is not praying necessarily. You can't have a conversation with a person without actually paying attention to that person, right? And since we can't see God, that creates a problem. If I have a conversation with you, I can pay attention to you while I'm having the conversation because it's easy, because you're right there. I can see you and I can hear you. But God, we can't see him. And so it's very easy for us to forget that we're actually talking to a person. A being that has a mind and thoughts and emotions and who listens. And so it makes sense at the outset to remind ourselves that we're talking to a person right at the beginning of our prayer. A couple weeks ago, I told you that it really helps me in my prayers to take some time at the very beginning to just stop and think about God and then think about the fact that he's right here in the room with me. That helps me think, remember that I'm talking to a person. And, that makes all the difference in the world for me. Maybe it won't help you. When I said that in that sermon, in the Q&A, the question came up, shouldn't we be thinking about God in heaven, not here in the room? And I'll address that. When we get to the phrase, hopefully next week, about in heaven, then I'll talk in some more detail about that. But for now, I just want to say that I believe that part of the purpose of an invocation in prayer is to remind us that we're talking to a person. And whatever helps you be reminded of that, do it. Do it. Thinking about God is not the same as paying attention to him. You understand that? Thinking about God is not the same as actually attending to God, paying attention to him relationally. I can think about you without paying any attention to you, right? I mean, I can think about you and you're not even here. That doesn't mean I'm paying attention to you. Paying attention to you is a relational, personal thing that takes place when you and I are in the same place actually interacting with each other. And prayer is when we do that with God, paying attention to him, not just thinking about him. So one reason, I think, for the invocation is to remind ourselves that we're speaking to a person. A second reason, second purpose of an invocation is to remind ourselves who that person actually is. Because it doesn't do much good to pray if you're praying to the wrong person, right? The wrong God. All prayer must be offered to the true God or it's worthless. And contrary to popular belief, just because a person is praying doesn't mean he's necessarily speaking to the true God. Most people just assume, oh, so if I close my eyes and start speaking, then God will hear my prayers. That's not true. Praying to a false God doesn't count as prayer any more than me talking to someone else counts as me talking to you. It matters who you're talking to. I mean, if your wife comes to you and says, I just wish you would talk more. You're so closed. I just want you to talk. And so you say, oh, okay. And you solve the problem by going to work and just spending hours chatting with all the women at work. That's not what she has in mind. If your words are directed to someone besides her, someone else, or if your words are just directed to nobody in particular, you just go into your room by yourself, close the door, and just start chattering away. That's still not what she has in mind. What she wants, none of that is communication with your wife. And in the same way, kneeling down and just saying words into the air, if those words are directed to a false God or to no God in particular, It's not prayer. The only true God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Allah is not God. Neither is Krishna or Buddha or some unnamed big guy upstairs or any of that. The triune God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the creator, the author of the scriptures, the Bible, Yahweh Almighty, he's the only true God. All other gods of all other religions are demons. They're demons. 1 Corinthians 10:20, the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. So we have to... For example, if you pray to a God who would never send anybody to hell, you're talking to a demon, not God. Because that's not the God of the Scriptures. If you pray to a God who's not a Trinity, or if you speak to a God who started out as a man and later became a God, or a God who's just one among many gods, or a God who just treats everyone as his child regardless of whether or not they know Jesus Christ, you're talking to a demon, not the true God, and your prayers aren't prayers. So the invocation reminds us that we're talking to a person. It reminds us which person we're talking to. And then thirdly, it reminds us of what sort of person we're talking to. And I think this is what really gets to the meat of the issue in the Sermon on the Mount. Your conception of what God is like at the outset of your praying determines how you pray. And so it's very important. The way you think about a person determines the way you relate to that person, right? I mean, if I think of you as a threat, I'm going to speak to you and relate to you a little differently than if I think of you as my rescuer. If I think of you as being wise or foolish, kind or harsh, generous or stingy, for me or against me, powerful or weak, honorable or dishonorable, delightful or burdensome, rich or needy, whatever, however I think of you, that will make a huge difference in how I interact with you. If you started your prayer, "Oh, great unknowable spirit," or "Oh, thou angry judge," or something, then, and most people aren't going to start their prayer that way, but if that's your conception of God, that you're going to pray a lot different than if you have a conception that you're speaking to your own dear Father. If we think the wrong way about God, it will spoil our prayers. It'll ruin them. If I have a conception of God as being against me, that's going to spoil my prayers. If I think of him as being unable to help me, or unwilling, or miserly, or burdensome instead of delightful, or foolish, or any of those things, it's going to ruin my prayers. So the invocation is, I believe, in a prayer, in large measure, for us. For us. We call him Lord, not to inform him about his lordship, but to affirm our submission to his lordship and our delight in it. We call him Savior, Master, Creator, Lord, King, Father, all that, because it's so important for us to have an awareness of that that's what he is as we begin our prayer. And the greatest and most important of all invocations, the greatest and most important of all addresses, when we come before God and we say his name, the most important thing we can call him in prayer is Father. Father.
We all have weak spots in our conception of God. Maybe you find it easy to think of God as your judge, but struggle to think of him as a loving father. Or maybe he feels like a father to you, but don't have much fear of God because you tend to forget about his holiness. Give some thought to which of God's attributes you most need to be reminded of, and begin your prayers with an address that reminds you of that aspect of God's nature.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.